what happened was like this. In January 1991, we'll call him Reuven, hired a monument company to make a monument for his mother who had just passed away in December 1990. And he paid him in advance 1,352 British liras. The 30th of August 1991, they informed him that it was finished and set up, and that was fine, and he was impressed with the job. And he was so impressed with that matseva that he realized that he doesn't have any yarshim, he didn't have any children, he doesn't have anyone to take care of himself, so he figured he'll hire this monument company to take care of his own matseva, lachamev esrim, when the time comes. So he hired them to make a matseva for himself and to set it up whenever the time will come. Reuven claims that he told them ahead of time, and when he filled out the order for him, when it said completion date, right, he didn't want to put down completion date, so he wrote when applicable, right? That's what he wrote, and everyone realizes when applicable means, you know, after Mayav Esrim, whenever he needs it, that's when it should be going into effect. The 25th of September, he got a letter from the company saying that his matseva was finished and it's erected in its place, in its proper place. And he got all upset about that. And he got on the phone immediately. He got on the phone and told him how upset he is and the mental anguish he has that they put up this monument and he's still alive. How can you do that? And they said, what's the big deal? It happens all the time. A lot of people do this. It's no problem. If you want, we'll take it down. And he called him a few times, and he held they weren't sensitive to his needs. And he said, if you're not sensitive to my needs when I'm alive, what's going to happen when I'm not here? So he said, I don't want you to set up the monument, and I want my money back. Okay, that's the case. The monument company says that we didn't, you know, it happens a lot of times that people order it ahead of time, and you go to a cemetery and you see they have, you know, the name without the final date filled in, right? People do that sometimes, he claims. You don't see it?
Plaques up on the wall say reserved.
Yes, well, it has the husband on one side and has the wife on the other side. You know who it's for. And the monument is there. They don't have to fill in the... Okay, sometimes it doesn't have the name also.
Right,
or not to even make it yet. Yeah, because you have a whole year, whatever it is, when they hear that about his Petira, then they'll start making it and do it. They need to do it now. And if they want to do it now, let them do it now and store it. But, you know, they don't need to.
So not all the information on the owner.
Huh?
Not all the information could be on the owner.
Yeah, just the final date's not on there. Everything else could be on there.
But there's two parts to it. One is that he wanted it done, and the other part is he wanted it placed.
Right, okay, that's going to come up also. I mean, there's two parts to this job. Okay, so last week we discussed this halacha that if you make an oral commitment to hire someone and that commitment causes them a financial loss, so then you have to pay them their work like a poel batel, what it will cost, what they would be willing to take for not working during that week. That's what we said last week. And at the end we said that there was two ways that that works. Right? There's two possibilities of having a loss. One is that, or there's actually two ways of not having a loss. One way is to say that right now you told me I was planning on working for you, and when you told me, the case we were talking about was this teacher, right? The teacher had been hired for the school year, and they told him a week before that they don't need him. And he said, I just got a job offer, and I turned it down because I was depending on you. And now I can't find a job anymore, right? So that's one way. He had a job, and they cost him. If he couldn't find a job now if he could find a job now anyway, so then that wouldn't be called a davar ha'avad, and the would-be employer doesn't have to pay anything, right? So if he could find a job now anyway, the would-be employer doesn't have to pay anyway. Then we said, even if he cannot find a job now, he still might not be chayiv, because maybe he couldn't have found a job originally. Right? If he couldn't have found a job originally, so then also the would-be employer doesn't have to pay, because what did I cost you? If I hadn't hired you, you wouldn't have had a job anyway. You don't have one now. You don't have one before. So either way, he'd be part of it. He's only chayiv when the guy could have had a job before, and he can't find a job now. That's when we said it was a davar ha'avi. And we said the case, this case of the school giving post-data checks in the beginning of the school year, we said that was a case where it's not a davar ha'avi. Right? The school, we said, is not a case of a davar ha'avi, because even though they, you know, they were going to have your money, and now they're not going to have it anymore, but when the school can take 25 kids in the class, between 20 and 30 per class, and you were number 23. So beforehand, they could have hired as many kids as they wanted, and they could have taken as many kids as they wanted, and afterwards, they still could take more kids. You are putting the kid in, taking the kid out, did not harm the school, even though it seems a little bit like you took that money from them, but they wouldn't have had that money anyway. So is this case of this monument like that? Like over here, did the monument company lose any money from this Reuven hiring them and then quitting on them? Okay, the cost that they spent on the monument, that's certainly part of it. But how about the rest of it, the part to hire them to set it up, where he wants to renege on that? Right, so it doesn't seem to be a davar ha'avi. Okay, so that's the case. I'll just tell you a few more cases that I thought of that are like this. Yeah, this is a little bit, maybe not, hopefully it's not so nogeya. Right, the first case, exactly like that case, would be a contractor. You hired a contractor to fix up your basement or something, like, again, and he didn't say good Shabbos to you, or he didn't invite you to his bar mitzvah, and you say, this guy, he doesn't have enough mental faith to invite me and say good Shabbos to me, he's going to mess up the whole job, and you stop him in the middle, you fire him. Similar case, right? You hired him, and now you're saying, I don't want you anywhere. He's in the middle. How much do you have to pay? Do you have to pay for the part he did, and not the rest? Right, what's halacha over there? So it would seem, okay, let me just tell you another couple cases. We'll talk about, you hired a babysitter for the school year to come to your house, and in the middle of the year you decided that it's too much money, you don't want it anymore. Or the case, you hired a tutor for your child for a year, and in the middle of the year you decided, nah, it's too much money, I don't want that anymore, and you stop that. Right? These are the types of cases we're talking about tonight. They're the cemetery case is interesting. The others might be more applicable. Okay, so we're back to the same sugya and Bamitsiya. And we said that if someone hired someone, and before he started working, it was just the oral commandment, before he started working, he changed his mind, and there was no loss. So at that point, we said there was only tirumas. You have complaints against the guy because it's hard to replace the job. We said if there's not hard to replace the job, there's not even complaints against him. But that's what the Gemara said. Now the Braisa continues. But Matavam Amurim, when is that talking? When is it that you have no monetary claim against the employer? That's Shalaholch. If they hadn't started walking to the worksite. But if he had hired donkey drivers and they went to the place to pick up the grain and there was nothing there, they wasted their time. He hired workers to hoe the field and they found out it was damp and they couldn't do anything with it. So then he has to pay them full wages for the day. There's no comparison to having to work a full job or not having to work at all. So he pays him so he pays him like an inactive worker. So the Gemara is mechadish that if they started walking to the job, so then even though they didn't suffer any loss, he still has to pay them. Right, we're assuming, we'll see from the Shulchan Aruch, even though they could not have had another job, he has to pay them kepoel batul. The Beraisa continues, when is it saying that there's no claim, they hadn't started working yet, but once they had started working, also, you have to pay them for what they had done. So these are complicated halachas, I have to admit. But we'll try to take them one at a time. And what we're introducing tonight is in the last 2 weeks we were talking about cases where all there was an oral commitment. That's all there was. It was just an oral commitment, no money changed hands, there was no kinyanim, they hadn't started working yet, they hadn't walked to the work yet. Like all the cases we said, there was nothing, no kinyan made. And that's when we had these rules that if he suffers no loss, there's no, all you can have is complaints. And if there is a loss, you have to pay for it. We're going to start tonight, and that's going to really be most of what we'll talk about tonight, and tonight's shiur, we'll talk about what happens if more than that was done. There was a kinyan made where they had started working. The Gemara says, starting walking there or starting the work, that changes the situation. So before we see the exact halachas of a change of heart of the employer once the work has started, I'm just going to give you a list. It's on the second side of the handout. What constitutes making something more than an oral commitment? So the first thing would be a kinyan. The different kinyanim, which could constitute a formal commitment that can't be broken. The first kinyan is Meshicha. The Rama says that if the Balabayas you hired the guy to mow the lawn and he pulled the lawnmower, at that point, that's like a kinyan and you can't change your mind. The Nesivus disagrees and says, what's that have to do with anything? If you're renting the lawnmower, then you could say pulling the lawnmower is a kinyan in the lawnmower. But how's pulling the lawnmower make the guy mowing the lawn have to do something? You didn't pull him, right? So that's the Machlokas, the Shachan, the Rama, and the Nesivus, whether pulling the article that's going to be used constitutes a kinyan. Then, probably more prevalent, which happened to be over here the case, there's kesef and shtar. Right? You pay the guy in advance. It doesn't have to be the whole amount. You pay him something in advance, or you write a shtar that he commits himself to doing the work. So over there, the Nesiva says that since workers are like karka, since workers, we had a few weeks ago, a worker is like an eved, and an eved is like karka. So if that's the case, just like karka, you can acquire land with paying for it with cash or with a shtar, with a document. So the same thing, you can acquire this person to work for you by giving him a document or by paying him in advance. Right, that's what the Nesiva says. Anyone have anything to say about that? Remember from 3 weeks ago, we said that share about mispricing the worker. We said there could be there's no onah. There's no din of onah by a worker because a worker is like an eved, and an eved is like karka, and there's no onah by karka. But we had a machlokas there. Some said that only applies to a poel, a schir yom, someone who's paid by the hour, who's called an eved, right? That's why he's allowed to quit in the middle. But a kablan who can choose his own hours, he's not called a socher. He's not called an eved. So there are dinim of onah by a kablan. So the Erech Shai says the same thing will be over here. The only time you could say a kesef and a shtar will work is if you're hiring someone to be like an eved for you. You're hiring him, like a case of a babysitter, we said, right, you need him during those hours. But if it's a kablan, someone to mow your lawn, whenever they come, you don't care. So kesef and shtar won't be a kinyan because this kablan is not like an eved, and so he's not like karka and kesef and shtar. Who says that by paying someone to work for you, he has to work for you? Where do you see such a kinyan? Right, that's another machlokas. The shach says kinyan sudr, like you do by mechiras chametz, giving over a handkerchief or gartel, whatever. That will be mechayev the person to have to do the work. And another possibility would be, suppose you want to have your car fixed, so giving the car over to the mechanic, and he makes a kinyan on it, or your watch, he picks up the watch, he makes a kinyan on the watch, so that, according to the Ritva, makes him chayev to complete the work, and for the balabayas not to quit on him, not to fire him. And there also, the Erech Shai disagrees with that. Okay, so kinyanim works sometimes, and yeah, I haven't listed here, in case you ever get into a case, ask a rabbi. But
kinyan is better than something oral, but exactly how strong is
it? Well, a kinyan would work. We just don't know what's called a proper kinyan. Right? The kinyan works. And that we're going to see from the next thing, because if the shach said, if starting a job works, certainly a real kinyan works. But it has to be a viable kinyan. Right, it has to be a viable kinyan. So what we're discussing is a certain kinyan that might not always work. So yeah, but it has to be a viable kinyan. That will make a difference. And the one we saw from the Gemara is starting the job. Starting the job also commits the worker and the balabayas not to quit. By the way, just to review what we had the first few shiurim, if you're a sechir yom, you can always quit, because avada yom v'lo avayim. That's we see the chiddush now. That even though you made a kinyan and you're committed, but if you happen to be working per hour, you can't force someone to work for you in certain hours. So in that case, he could quit. But we're talking about from the employer standpoint. The employer, once the worker starts working, you can't tell him to stop. And the shach brings from the Yuvash that it doesn't make a difference what type of worker it is, whether he's a sacher or a kaplan. Either way, he can't fire him. Okay, so here also there is a machlokus. Because why should starting a job work? So what, you started. Why should that make a difference that you started to work? So what, he started to mow your lawn, he started to carve out the monument, or that he started to teach, started to tutor. Why should that make a difference? Right? What does that mean that you started to work? So the Yisrael Chanan says the reason is because that's like kinyan chazaka, right? If you have a servant, how do you acquire a servant? By having him work for you. When a servant works for you, so then you made a kinyan, you own him. Same thing, when a worker starts working for you, so now there's a kinyan, you're committed to each other. But the Yisrael Chanan says that will apply only maybe by a Sechir Yom, who, like we said, is called an Eved. But someone who is a Kavlan, a contracted worker to do a certain job, there could be that the fact that he started working won't constitute a formal commitment. Right? That's a bit chiddushy saying, and that certainly applies to these cases here. And then there's another, I have the Kesef Kedoshim on the handout, and this is also very, very Nogeya. He talks about a case where you hired a maid, a housekeeper. So he says the housekeeper might have been there already for a few weeks. She started working, but it doesn't constitute a commitment yet because you didn't get the final details, you didn't teach her everything she needs to do in the house, you didn't commit to a final price. She was only on trial. And he says someone who's only on trial, it's a trial period, so if someone's only in a trial period, that's not called that he started the work yet. As long as it's just a trial, and I think this might be in Nogaya teachers, where they hire teachers and they say, the first year is only a trial, we'll see how you do. So that does not constitute any commitment to keep them anymore. Now, it could be there be other ways out of that also, but any time that's just a trial, which is also very common, that you, let's see how it works out, and then we'll see how the tutoring job works, and then, right, just because you tutored that kid for the first couple times, doesn't mean that they're committed forever for that period of time that you had set yourself in motion. By the way, the commitment is only for what you said in the beginning. I'm doing a monument or tutoring for the school year. It doesn't mean that's a lifetime contract, that you know you can tutor the kid until he's, you know, 80. Like, it means that you're tutoring him for that school year, whatever you said it was. But even though you started, if it was just trying it out and see how it works, you never did anything with the kid before, or the babysitter, or the housekeeper, or the whatever case it is, that's not called the beginning of the malach yet, and that doesn't constitute any kinyan. Okay, so that's two ways where you can make a formal commitment. One is through a viable kinyan, a kinyan that works, and the second is through beginning the job. Now, let's assume that, we're still talking theoretical, let's assume that that's what you did. There's now a formal commitment. It's not an oral commitment anymore, like we spoke about the last few weeks. Now there is a kinyan, a beginning of the job, something real has happened, and the work has begun, you made the kinyan. What's the halacha now if the employer tells the employee to go away? How does it differ than the cases we had until now? So the Shulchan Aruch says, and this is on the first page of the handout, what it boils down to is that you have to divide the thing into two parts. The part that they started working and the part they didn't work yet. Right? You stop them in the middle. They were mowing half the lawn and you stop them, or you had him to, you wanted this babysitter to come to your house for the school year, and you stop her after 3 months. You had someone driving your kid carpool, and you stop him after a few months. So you have to talk about the part that was worked until now, and what wasn't done yet. And there's two situations, those two parts we have to look at. So the part that was done, certainly there everyone holds that you have to pay in full, and Allah is that the Yad Bala Bais is Allah Tachtona. He has a lower hand, that if the price went up, the price went down. He has to, the employee gets the full amount no matter what. Even if the price went down and he can hire someone to finish the job for less, he has to pay the employee even more money that he had agreed upon in the beginning. That's, the employer has the lower hand in such a case.
You mean pay the full amount of what he's done, or the whole job?
Not the whole job.
For
the
part,
and I'm saying the upper hand is he'll be even paying more. Originally he had said, I'm going to give you $30 every time you mow the lawn. And now the price of mowing lawn went down to $20, and you fire him halfway into the year. So, and since you can hire someone for the last half of the year cheaper, third cheaper, so you give him that extra money for his first half of the year. You don't just give him half of the whole season, you give him half plus whatever you save. And if the price goes up, he still gets his full price and you lose. Right, that's halacha. And we're talking if he, that's for the part he did. Now, how about for the part he didn't do? So now it's going to depend. Can he find another job or can't he find another job? Did you cause him a loss or not? So if he can find another job, so all he has is tarumas. The Shulchan Aruch says all he has is complaints against him. Now, this already is worse than when there was only an oral commitment. Because when there was an oral commitment, we said, if he can find another job easily, he can't even have complaints against you. Over here, no matter what, the fact that he already started working, and you stopped in the middle, he can have complaints against you, which means that it's not a good thing to do. You know, if you can have, you don't want to have people have complaints against you. So once the guy started working, even though he can find another job easily, and you have another job for him, that you found for him, that's it's not a right thing, and he can have complaints against you. Now, suppose he can find another job. So in the case of an oral commitment, we said it depended. If he could not have had a job anyway, there was no one around to do what he needed, what he can do. So in that case, we said he also doesn't have any tainas against you. But over here, the halacha is, since he already started working, a kinyan was made, a commitment was made. And once that commitment is made to pay him for whatever he does, you have to pay him for the rest of the term also. Even though he would not have had the job without you, right? In the case of the school that we spoke about last week, at the end, if you took your kid out in the middle of the year, so al pi strict din, since you had committed yourself, you had hired that school to work for you for that whole year, and you took him out in the middle, you have to pay the school for the rest of the year also. I mean, there is such a, that shuva that we spoke about last year, last week says, though, that since the minig is, at least the minig in Eretz Yisrael is, that the school is paid back, so then the minig always overrides the halacha. So you'd have to find out what the minig is. But al pi strict halacha, once you start working, you have to pay for the full term that you were planning on. However, if the guy's not going to be working at all, he's taking off, so then we saw from the Gemara that you only have to pay them like a total bottle. You don't have to pay the full price, you just pay for that amount what they would agree to take the week off, or to take that time off. But by the school, it's not applicable. I mean, we'll go to cases in a second. But even there, there's one more machlokas. I'm sorry, it's not my fault, there's just a lot of machlokas in here. And he has... his tshuva is 20 pages on this. I mean, I'm leaving out most of what he speaks about, just talking about what's nogeya us. There's a machlokes if this applies to a kablan. This whole thing might just be by a schir yom, someone who's hired to work for a certain amount of hours, like the babysitter, like a school. But if it's someone who's contracted to do a job, so there, the whole idea that did you make him lose money, did you not make him lose money, it's not so simple that it applies there, because like we said in the beginning, he could have always get other contracts and he could always get other deals, and even if you find another thing for him, that's not going to help, because he could have had two jobs, he could have had three jobs, four jobs. What's it help that you found me another kid to go into the school. There'd be another. You would, if your child was here, it'd be another one. So you got me another. I found another catering job, but I would have had another simcha to cater. You got me another monument. I would have had another monument to make. Right. So there is talk whether it applies to kablanos. The Nesivos says that it applies both to kablanos and to schiros. So that's what he says. So with all that, let's go back to these cases that we had, and we'll leave the monument for last. Okay, so you hired the babysitter to come to your house for the school year, and you decide to let her go halfway through. So she had already started working for you. So what would the halacha be? Right, do you have to pay her for the rest of the year? You paid her all along. Do you have to pay her for the rest of the year?
Yes.
In all circumstances? Okay. When do you have to pay her? When don't you have to pay her?
It's obviously not one of the training periods.
What?
It's not one of the training periods.
Right, the training period is finished, and you didn't have any problems with her. So it's going to depend if she gets another job. But if she gets another job, so then she can have complaints against you. You didn't do the right thing. She can have complaints, but you don't have to give her any money. But if she can't find another job, even though there was no other job to be found in the beginning of the year and you were the only one, so then you're going to have to pay her. But how much do you pay her? Not the full $10 an hour, but you pay her what she would take to not have to work, a power bottle, right? That's the case of a babysitter. How about you hired someone to tutor your child for the school year? You want him to have extra Mishnayos or Gemara to learn during the school year once a week, and then midway through you decide that you don't want to do it anymore. You decide not for anything you did wrong. You just decide you don't want to do it anymore. You don't feel like paying the money anymore. So, what's halacha there? It's like the case of the babysitter, right? It's exactly like the babysitter. If he finds another kid, so then he didn't have any loss. He has tarumah still. If he doesn't find any other kids, so then you have to pay him. But over here, like we said last week, there's certain professions where no one likes taking off, like those musclemen and those porters, or we said like a Rebbe, someone who teaches Torah doesn't like taking off. We said you have to make sure, the Rama said, you have to make sure that's really the case by this particular Rebbe. So in that case, the tutor would be able to get the full pay for the rest of the year, because he can't find another job. You had committed yourself to him, he has started working, and you have to pay him for your mechayiv yourself to pay him for the whole year. And like we said with the case of the postdated checks, mihikar adin, you'd have to pay him. And once again, if the minig in the town is not that way, so then you follow the minig. That's a rule in Choshen Mishpat. Whenever there's a minig, you follow what the minig is. If the minig is that, you know, if you drop the guy in the middle of the year, you don't have to pay him, so that's the minig. But let's just say we're talking without a minig. I don't know. We're that's a riot, that we're not doing anything lamaisa here, and this is my disclaimer all the time, right? You have to find out. But
why didn't the tutor get a pelabata?
What?
Why didn't you pay the tutor
like a pelabata? Because assuming that teaching Torah is like those muscle men, that for them taking off isn't enjoyable. They don't want to take any. They wouldn't take a penny not to teach. Right? Like we said, Tikkuri Hashem Sam Chelei, whatever reasons there are for the teaching Torah. Right? So then you get the full pay. That is a case that is Darkei Choshen, which was donated to Yehuda Nishmas, W. Yehuda and Chaim Yosef, says, this was written in Eretz Yisrael, someone hired a taxi to take him to tour. And there was to tour Eretz Yisrael, there was supposed to be 10 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock came, he's waiting, and the taxi doesn't come. 10 after 10, a bus pulls up for the hotel for a tour, so he figures, I'll go with the bus, you know, the taxi's not here. And at the first rest stop, the taxi driver catches up to him and says, where were you? I was 10 minutes late, I was there 10, 11. You go take the bus, you have to come with me now or pay me. So he paskins that when you're going on a tour, you know that there's other people being picked up, even though the tour starts at 10, you know, there's traffic, the different things. 10 minutes was an unreasonable reason to say that he's not coming. Well, he had hired the car. He should have assumed the car was going to come. And here, since the car started, the car was driving, the taxi was driving, that's called Haschalas HaMalacha. He had started to work already. So since the taxi had started to work, so you have to pay him. And here you have to pay him the full amount because it's not a pel batel, because here it's like the case of a school. The more people he has in the taxi, he gets paid per person, and he has lost this one person. You have to pay him the full amount here because there's no pel batel over here. So let's go back to our cemetery, to the Chara Matseva. Okay? So the Matseva. They had started the work. There was a paid in advance, there was a contract, there was a kinyan, right? But all of that might not make a difference, because if you hold that by a kablon, he's not like an Eved, and kinyan kesed doesn't work, and kinyan shtar doesn't work, and starting the work is kinyan chazak, and that doesn't work, the employer, the person could say, there's no commitment done here, I don't have to pay you anything I have to pay you for your expenses and all that, but I don't have to finish off the job. I could take them, we can split up, make a cheshbon of what it costs to make the monument and what it makes to set it up, and I can get it set up myself. He happens to paskin, the Dayan of London happened to paskin that starting the work, he said that kesev and the money and the contract isn't enough to start to commit it. But he said the fact they started the work, that is enough. He doesn't make that chilek the Eruch Shai makes, the Rav Yisrael Chana makes, and he says the fact that they started the work already was a commitment to go through with the job, and the fact that he had mental anguish is not sufficient cause to fire him because mistakes happen, but the fact that they weren't so sensitive, you know, they should make a pshara, and they came out with some pshara over there. But that's the way the case comes out. In summary, tonight we've introduced this new halacha that when there's more than an oral commitment, there's been a kinyan, or there's been a beginning of the job starting, so then, in that way it's similar, that if he finds another job, he only has tarumas, which is more than the case of an oral commitment, but at least there's no monetary claim. But if the guy can't find another job, even though he would not have had a job otherwise, since he started working for you, since you made a formal kinyan, you're responsible to pay him for the rest of the term of the job, whatever that term was. Right? The Ramah talks a case, if you hire someone to be a Rebbe, a tutor, for 2 years, and he started, so then you have to pay him for those 2 years. That's the term of the job. What do you pay him? So then it'll depend. If he's not going to be doing anything, so you pay him kapel batel, what he would take to be inactive. He's inactive. But if he's working anyway, and you just cost him that extra fare, that extra student, that extra monument, that extra job that he had, so then you have to pay him in full, unless there's a minhag HaMedina not to.